This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Fed Chair Janet Yellen was back on Capitol Hill today, saying pretty much the same thing she was saying yesterday on Capitol Hill. That was the Senate yesterday. Today was the House. The economy's getting better, she said. Still not good enough. Labor market slack. Nothing too surprising. But Dr. Yellen was not the only member of the Federal Open Market Committee making public remarks today. The president of the Dallas Fed, Richard Fisher is his name. He was in town, by which I mean this town, by the way, L.A., for a speech over at USC. We asked him to swing by for a chat, and he did. Mr. Fisher, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Kai.
This is an interesting speech in a whole lot of ways, but the takeaway from it is that you have some issues with the way things are going in monetary policy in this country. You're not pleased.
Well, it's not that I'm not pleased. I think our team does an awfully good job. I just think we have to be careful not to fight the last war.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, we had a horrible downturn, as you know. We had a crisis. I think the Federal Reserve did a superb job in keeping us, under Ben Bernanke's leadership, from sliding into depression and deflation. And one of the things that Ben Bernanke left as his legacy as chair was a 2% intermediate-term target for inflation, just so we could have a sense of what we would work around. Sometimes we'd undershoot, sometimes overshoot. We're getting
and your point is we're worried about it going down,
yeah. But now we see these – I see these pressures rising, and we're beginning to see a little bit of wage pressure, interestingly enough, and some shortages in key areas, everything from truck drivers to engineers to IT people. And that's usually an indicator that eventually you're going to have – more general inflation.
And you think, and you say this in here, that we have been too loose for too long and that the Federal Open Market Committee, on which you sit as a voting member,
yes, sir,
needs to seriously start thinking about pulling the Fed farther out of the economy and maybe getting that federal funds rate started going again.
Kai, we have in our family a duck hunting property. We own wetlands in East Texas and spent a lot of time duck hunting. So when you
I should interrupt here and read the title of this speech. Monetary Policy in the Maginot Line, with reference to Jonathan Swift, Neil Irwin, Shakespeare's Portia, Duck Hunting, The Virtues of Nuisance, and Paul Volcker. It is, I will tell you, an entertaining speech. But please go on.
Well, here's the point about duck hunting.
Yep.
Those that do duck hunt aim ahead of the bird in their flight pattern. They don't aim where the bird is currently. And I think we have to be mindful of the fact that monetary policy operates with a lag. We need to aim ahead of the flight pattern. And the flight pattern right now is an economy that is improving more quickly than we expected.
Yep.
It's not robust yet. It's not something to get super excited about. But it's happening faster than we collectively expected. And we also see a little bit of price pressure. Again, nothing to worry about, but it's increasing. So my point is that we should consider just tweaking a little bit the amount of accommodation we provided. We have been doing that. We've been cutting it. We were buying $85 billion a month.
Right. So the taper is in place. And
we're going to I think we will end up reducing that taper to zero in October. We're on that path.
Pulling
now.
Back from the bond buying program is,
yes,
is what
we,
that
when
is.
We buy something, we pay for it, and that puts money out in the system. We've been putting a lot. And our balance sheet as a bank, we were at $900 billion before the crisis. We're now at $4.5
trillion. $1 trillion, yes.
This is a lot of money. A lot of it's been put back to us in terms of banks just parking their money on the 12 Federal Reserve banks on our balance sheets. And that's a big number, over $2.5 trillion. That means it's not being lent to people because there's not enough demand to borrow it, or there are disincentives from borrowing, and that comes from the fiscal authorities.
So all the money that's out there is not getting through the economy.
That's my point. It is flowing into the speculative markets, the stock, the bond, the other commodities, and all other things that trade. So we've had a very rich market, as you know, and you report on so well.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you for that compliment. About the speculative markets and stocks and all of that stuff, we had Neil Irwin from the New York Times on the program about a week or two ago about his article that you cite in this speech saying this is the bubble of everything.
Yeah.
Neil said, and you don't disagree in this speech, that part of that, no small part of that, is the Federal Reserve's fault for plowing all this money out there and letting it sit there.
Well, the word fault is tough, but let me just walk you through the cause here. If you feel that a powerful central bank, and we are the largest and most powerful in the world, and other central banks have followed suit, if you feel that we're going to basically guarantee you against the downside risk, then you're going to take more risk. And money does burn a hole. I don't know about you, Kai, but it burns a hole in anybody's pocket. So
it does that, but you use a better phrase here. You actually, and the fraternity listeners out there will appreciate that, you call it beer goggles. The Fed has given investors beer goggles.
Well, things do look a little bit more better when you have a lot of liquidity in your system, right?
I told you it was an entertaining speech.
I just think the markets look awfully good. We've provided a lot of liquidity, and other central banks as well. as of well. So it changes the whole way you look at risk.
The question has to be asked then, since you are a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee this year, and you say this in the speech, you have not cast a dissenting vote.
Not in this go-around. I wanted to see the taper occur, and it's occurring.
So
I wasn't in favor of the program, but I lost that argument, and I'm happy that we're tapering it down to zero.
Are you going to, the next time you gather around that big table at the Fed building, are you going to dissent and
I would never answer that question, Kai.
Well,
I mean, it really is an issue of I did lay out what I believe should happen after I think we will stop tapering in October. So we're no longer adding to our portfolio, but as I say in the speech— the punch in that punch bowl is still 108 proof. 108, by the way, is...
Jack Daniels, by the way.
Well, it's actually Wild Turkey.
Oh, sorry, right, Wild Turkey.
My former chairman at the Dallas Fed, the founder of Southwest Airlines, I think it's the largest consumer of Wild Turkey bourbon in the world. So he's taught me a lot about Wild Turkey. But the point is, I think we can start diluting that 108 proof by not reinvesting the proceeds. When something matures that we own now, we just put it back. We buy something
equivalent.
So I think that'd be a gentle way to signal to the markets... the economy is improving, assuming it continues to improve, and I think it will. And that would be a good bridge to then eventually, when we decide as a group to raise rates, it won't shock the markets as much.
Your use of the phrase, a gentle way to warn the markets, how much do you guys, as you are, and Dr. Yellen as well, and the women on the FOMC, how much do you think about how closely the markets are watching you, if that makes any sense at all?
Well, we have learned through the crisis, maintaining financial stability is important. And our previous chairman, two iterations ago, Mr. Greenspan, had more of a laissez-faire Ayn Rand approach to regulation. We changed that under Chairman Bernanke. And again, we're tightening those screws under Chairman Yellen, Chairwoman, Chair Yellen.
I think just chair is what she prefers.
We call her chair.
Yeah. Well, you call her Jen.
I call her yes, ma'am.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
So... But at some point, as the economy improves, which is the good news, the real economy, real people go to jobs, not just the rich and the quick, then we have to taper back the amount of stimulus we provided the economy. And, you know, maybe even someday, Kai, our fiscal authorities, meaning the Congress and President of the United States, might get their act together.
Thank you for the segue, because the last thing I wanted to touch on is this idea of how much more difficult your job is made by the absolute inability of political Washington to do anything.
Well, I think it's an enormous burden to rely entirely on the central bank. We provide the fuel. We provide the gasoline for the motor of the economy. Someone has to incentivize people to step on the gas pedal and move the car forward. So I hope our fiscal authorities will somehow get their act together. That's dreaming, of course.
I was going to say,
Republicans and Democrats and whoever's in the White House, and will say, how can we incent people to use all this abundant money the central bank has provided to put the American people back to work?
Richard Fisher is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. It is, as I said, a good speech. We'll have a link to it on our website, marketplace.org. Thanks so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you, Kai.